The opinions expressed on this program are those of the program hosts and their guests and are not necessarily those of WSTU, St. Mary's Episcopal Church, and Temple Beit Haim. Products that may be mentioned are not necessarily intended as an endorsement. Any reproduction or retransmission of this broadcast is strictly prohibited. And now, WPSL presents a priest and a rabbi. Call in with your questions and comments at 220-9788-220-WSTU. Now, here's your hosts.
Hey, good morning, Stewart and Martin County and every other square footage of this antenna that reaches you. This is Father Christian, the very good-looking man to my right, is Rabbi Matthew Durbin. And we've been just spending the last kind of 10 weeks, 11 weeks together just talking about all things that come across our desk as just being priests and rabbis in this town, what it's like to try to keep it real as just a real human being, finding the relationship and the connection between us, what makes us so similar, and then also just there's some obvious differences that are there, and exploring different ways to find more and more unity, but more also just what's so commonplace between just these two, can I just say youngish? Youngish?
That's what we are.
Yeah, youngish.
Sure.
Yeah, youngest gents who are just two dudes who responded to the phone to the phone call from God, who said, hey, you want to step up to the plate, buddy, and be a rabbi or be a priest. So we said, sure, amigo, let's roll with this.
So let's go back a little bit, if you don't mind. So when we first started the show, you charged me with the ability to bring in a Beverly Hills 90210 quote.
Man, you are not letting this go.
I am not letting this go.
Holy cow.
Because the challenge is it really a priest and a rabbi, or is it the Alyssa Milano show? And
you
we still
adore this, the Melissa Milano.
No, it's because you charged me with the responsibility of filtering in a quote from Beverly Hills, which I did appropriately. And we're still waiting. Our listeners are still waiting to hear the Alyssa Milano reference. And if you're unable, which I definitely understand in terms of, you know, the rigors of professional life, but maybe I could charge you with you have a big holiday coming up.
Yes, sir.
So any chance we could slip in the Alyssa Milano?
Yeah, absolutely.
As part of your
Christmas
mass
day, yes. If on Christmas Day we have like 85 services, so if on one of those I can slip in Alyssa Milano, probably our 6:45 courtyard service on Christmas Eve.
I like that.
Yeah, you like that plug. So it's beautiful. It's on the courtyard. There's candles everywhere, all over the place, and it's a big seeker service. And when we say seeker service, that means people are just like, nah, I'll go to church maybe. Oh, it's in a courtyard. That sounds fun.
Let's so you go. Actually you call it a seeker service.
Well, internally, that's the way it's designed. That's the way we look at it. That's the vision of it. It's not built for the traditionalists. It's really built for folks who are on the fence, maybe thinking about going to church, maybe thinking about doing a Christmas service. And this is something that's more built for that. I mean, each service has its own separate vision. And so
we're saying then those that attend or you know attend your service, that it's for those in search of meaning, or presumably yeah. All of our services are in search of meaning.
Right.
For those, you know, for spirituality or for connection
yeah. I mean, you never want to apologize and give skim milk gospel and really lighten it up too much. I know some churches that they don't use the word evangelism because I know that freaks people out. So they talk about community building. So they won't use the E word because we know the E word might get some people just running out the back door. You know, we think about the language that we use because we realize we're trying to attract a different kind of crowd. And Martin County is in the top 15 of counties in the country that are the most unchurched. So there's, I don't think those people are atheists. I think they're just maybe put up and maybe sick of the church or not even aware of the church or the reason, like, is the church really that relevant? So we're kind of focusing on, yeah, but people are still looking for meaning. People are still looking for purpose. People are still looking for guidance and in their lives. And so how does that service do that? Compared to a traditionalist service, which is for the tried and true Episcopalians who just don't even need to open up the book. They just got it memorized. But if you've never been to a service before and you don't have to pick up a book, you're going to need all the books. And we have lots of books during the service. We have like three of them. It's insane, which is not the most inviting and hospitable thing. So we have these other services that have rock bands and put the words up on the screen. And so you don't have to do much. You can grab some coffee and have it at your seat and kids can run around and be nutty during the service and it's all good. Right.
So just to go back on that notion. So, you know, as we're well aware, living in a Christian country that obviously, you know, in 11 days, we're going to hit Christmas. And with that comes a whole gambit of different services to which you provide, right? Do you, and does St. Mary's do something in terms of alternative services? So instead of the traditional service where you'll have, you know, 15 different services going on from the evening of Christmas Eve all the way through Christmas itself, you know, is there the intent of changing it up a little bit to attract others to come, or is it more of this is a Christmas service, this is what we're doing? You know, go through the service in terms of what to include, what to omit, you know, in terms of what you're going to speak and talk about in terms of giving people spiritual guidance or inspiration. I mean, is it something that has always happened at St. Mary's in terms of we need to find where our membership is and where they're at and to create services or meaningful moments at that given time, especially for Christmas, to attract our community? Or is it something of, you know, we have X amount of times for services, and with those services comes, you know, alternative, comes more music, comes more liturgy, comes more family-oriented services. Is that something that St. Mary's has always done for a long time, or is that relatively recent in terms of
attraction? I think it's grown over the years. I mean, the 6:45 courtyard service is a brand new thing over the last couple of years. It's something to say, hey, I think some people are really excited about this and wanted to it would attract some newbies. So if you got some friends in for from out of town, and you have some Christian friends who are like, hey, man, we're not really big Christian goers. We wouldn't mind to make a Christmas service. Maybe, you know, my buddy is a priest. He's got this 6:45 courtyard service. It's very non-threatening. It's very approachable. It's beautiful. It's underneath all these gorgeous lights. There's candles everywhere. They're not hitting you over the head. And it's more of a contemplative just kind of feel and experience. It's more of an experiential place.
And it is this time for you as an Episcopal priest, is it a stressful time? Is it a jam-packed time? I mean, the only reference point that as a Jew that I have for it would be, you know, the semi-equivalent of our High Holy Days, where it is nonstop. I mean, we are, you know, we're in it. You know, I mean, you know, as a rabbi, when especially this year, our High Holidays were a little bit early in early September. I mean, I was in it in all throughout the summer to write services, to go through the service components, to make sure that we're, you know, on top of our game. Is that the same equivalent with Christmas?
Yeah. And I think that's going to be a big point of our show today, is really how do we keep this real, especially as spiritual directors and as heads of either a temple or as me as an assistant to the rector at a church. We are supposed to be the ones who are supposed to be leading the way of peace and contemplation and the presence of God. But in the meantime, it's just insanity. There's so much going around the office. Everyone's wearing multiple hats. It's a nonprofit at the end of the day. And your mind is going nuts. And there's certain ways that you have to be so intentional of keeping your mind on why am I doing this? Because if it's just about getting the task done, you're going to get stuck in anxiety. You're going to get stuck in just the insanity of it all. Get impatient, getting anxious, getting lost in it all. And the season, what's the point? I mean, sure, you can just say the office has to take the hit and everyone just gets got to get all and the lay leaders, the people who are the volunteers, just get all frazzled just so when the other two, guess, I don't know, on a Christmas, 2,000 people who show up over the 2 days, they have a great time. Yeah, I get it. It's sacrificial. But the point is, especially from a priest, when I think about it as a priest, I got to get up there and preach. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not practicing what I'm preaching, then my sermon is just a bunch of BS. Mm-hmm. And Advent, the Advent season of leading up to Christmas, is all about contemplation and peace and reverence and waiting and being still. How do you do that? And how do you do that as well, Rabbi, during high holidays to keep that peace? And I think later on in the show, we're going to have my wife on here who's going to talk about what's the toll that it takes on at home. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, we're just two dudes who are trying to be doting and loving husbands. And our wives, sometimes our wives might be like, you know, I'm going to call BS on this, man. You're showing up at 10 o'clock at night. What does that do for us? Mm-hmm. You know, you have children and all that stuff and want to get into that. So, you know, there's a lot of intentionality of even in the midst of the nuttiness. Jesus, from my perspective, had a pretty darn busy schedule. And throughout scripture, he still found times over and over and over again to go away from the crowd, find some peace, and just chill out and speak and be present with God.
But it's an interesting concept when we think about it in terms of, you know, you're up there, you've prepared for a while for this moment. And as you said, you know, if I'm not true to my words, or I'm concerned with choreography, I'm concerned with everything running smoothly, the liturgy, all of the services itself, does that take away from you as a priest of your own connectivity or connection to God? So, it's, you know, I'll bring it from a Judaic perspective. I was trained as a rabbi in Europe. And my first year of rabbinical school, the college sends us out to communities all throughout Europe to lead high holidays. And my first year, right out of the gate, they sent me to a town called Southport in England, which is just north of Liverpool. And as I was there and I met with the congregation and I met with the rabbi just before services, a couple of weeks before high holidays, the rabbi had said, great, okay, you will lead all services. You will write 5 sermons. And, you know, part of me got a little anxious. You know, what does this mean? I've never written sermons before. I'm not well versed in the culture and the community itself. And the rabbi had said, well, don't worry about it. Just write 5 sermons. The only one you will not give is the sermon for what we call Yisker on Yom Kippur, kind of a remembrance service. And I remember him saying, the only reason why I cannot have you do that is, you know, we are very aware of your age. At that point, I was in my late 20s. I didn't really see the issue. He said, you don't have the experience to be able to talk about grief or suffering or, you know, the connection that people can give when it comes to remembering their loved ones, which I viscerally disagree with. But I remember at that moment when I led my first Rosh Hashanah service, and I came back to London, and I was talking with one of my colleagues, one of the rabbis who was teaching, and I pulled him aside and I said, look, I'm really struggling. I am really struggling because I spent that entire time at Rosh Hashanah leading a synagogue through prayer, and I had no connection. And I felt very disconnected to the liturgy. I felt very disconnected to the process itself of the High Holy Days. And the rabbi said something to me that I will never forget, and it was very, very, very basic. And I think if I actually had spent proper time deconstructing what the experience was, would have come to that realization. But what he said to me was, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the fact that you are leading a community through prayer. And I remember those words, leading a community through prayer. And when I came back 10 days later, and I led the congregation through our Yom Kippur services and came back, and the rabbi had said, how was that? And I remember thinking to myself, from a personal perspective, I feel that I have been spiritually fulfilled. That it was that notion that it's not about me. It's not about what's going on. It's about the fact that I have 300, 400, 500, 600 people who have come into a service, who are in search of meaning, who are in search of inspiration, and being able to lead them through that process that actually became much more self-fulfilling of the role of what it means to be a rabbi or, you know, a clergy person.
Yeah. Yeah. You're getting to the basis. You got to be focused on the reason of why you're there. The reason of why you've been called as a rabbi, the reason why the service is so important, the reason why you're going to put in the countless hours. If it just looks like as a task or something that needs to get done, it's just going to become morose. You're just going to get lost in the doldrums of checkoff lists and anxiety and stress, and the stress will take over, as opposed to, no, this is, there's a reason. It's not about me, as you're saying. And the joy of what's about to happen. The joy, let's look at what's about to happen from a Christian perspective, where we're going to on Christmas. So if I'm going to be putting in and dealing with the 50 phone calls and the endless meetings and the stress and the conflicts that other people have and volunteers and trying to put them together and get all these things organized. So we nail it. Cause if it's, you know, the stress is higher cause it's not our normal crowd. We have a lot of guests, and if we don't nail it, and if it looks not sharp, That's not great. That's not what we want. We really do want to present a beautiful service that can really move people, because there might be some people on the fence being like, you know what? I need something like this more in my life. And I want to have an access to the divine. But
for you as a priest, how do you find for yourself, do you chunk out time during your week for just for you, for Reverend Anderson's private space, or do you, how do you deal with stress when there are stressful situations in terms of trying to find the proper time to unwind, unpack, whatever it may be, while at the same time maintaining authenticity in terms of what you provide or what you do?
Sure, because there's the truth is, as a cleric, and you know this, there's only a few people you can download when you got stress, when you got stuff that's on your heart and your mind. And also, the endless people are coming into your office who are coming with just heavy, heavy, heavy stuff that's on their hearts and on their minds, that sometimes you're just the person who's shifting them towards a therapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but still you're in the midst of it. And that weighs on you, right? But you can't share that information with parishioners. You know, you take a vow, you know, unless someone's talking about killing themselves or killing someone else, that just stays between you and that person. Mm-hmm. And then the church, we take confession. So you're hearing some stuff, right? So the bishop of Southeast Florida has made it mandatory that every priest and deacon has a therapist, that you are in an active relationship with a therapist to be downloading, to be dealing with all that stuff, no matter if you feel like, hey, man, I got this, I'm mm-hmm. good, and a spiritual director, which is different than a therapist.
Did you have that in seminary as well?
In seminary, it was definitely commanded to have a spiritual director.
Okay.
But if you wanted to have a therapist, they would try to support you financially because, mm-hmm. In seminary, no one's making any money. But that's so important. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important for any of us that if we're in a place where it's hard for us to find a place to download all the heaviness that's going on in our lives, look on your insurance and find a therapist or a counselor that's someone you can at least just sit down with. It doesn't mean you have an issue, you have a problem. It's just to download. It's just to it's good to talk about it with someone that you trust, you know, is not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, because what leads to you and me, where the reason why my wife's going to be coming on here after the break, is that sometimes with the stuff that's appropriate that we can share, usually ends up on our wives' laps, mm-hmm. and we talk to them, and that's a lot for them to take on, right? Mm-hmm. And for your wife too, she's a rabbi. There's probably so much she could share with you that sometimes that she can't mm-hmm. share anything with you, but the stuff that she can. And so then you're bringing the work home. Mm-hmm. So then dinner or time before bed is sitting there talking about the stuff, just because it feels good to kind of talk about it. But at the same time, now it's infiltrated. Mm. It's infiltrated the bedroom. It's infiltrated your house. And now you're talking about that stuff. So I think you have to be extremely intentional, as I think as any kind of human being walking this earth, especially as one who's walking a spiritual path, to set time aside. I mean, for us as Christians, it's all about Jesus. Jesus was he had a lot on his plate and a lot of teaching. He was trying to change the world, right? And for us, he changed the world. And he still found time throughout scripture to go by the mountaintop, to go around the corner and to be silent and to be at peace. And he got interrupted sometimes and he said, okay, let me just go do what's needed, this healing or whatever. But he still found time, because without that, I think you would have been off. And so whether it's a reflection you do in the morning, whether it's 20 minutes you dedicate every morning of silence, whether it's at lunchtime before you have lunch, you reflect on the five places you saw God, whether it's in seeing it in the simple things of washing dishes or baking goods, or with me, some of the more menial tasks that I do as a priest is learning to say, how can I have a conversation with God while this is happening during these simple things?
But I think it's exactly what you just said is, you know, from a Judaic perspective, it's about the intention, right? We say kavanah, the intentionality behind the actions to which we're doing, right? And sometimes we go through the life's tasks and life's opportunities without that understanding of placing God in the forefront. That we don't see. I mean, I tend to say this a lot when we do Shabbat morning services on Saturday morning, that the one special time that I really take for myself, which is not a lot, is really 90 seconds. And although we may think that the time is very brief, really, I would say, well, of the 90 seconds, it really becomes 180 seconds. It's 3 minutes. And it's the minute and a half.
In your whole day.
No, the moment during my Saturday to which I really take in God and the essence of what God has given us. And I live in Palm City, and of course the temple is down in Stuart. And when I cross over that Palm City bridge leading into Stuart, or going home after in the afternoon on Saturday, to being able to go over that bridge, to look over around God's massive expanse, to see the clouds, to see the sun bursting through. There's a part of me that says, today is Shabbat. Today is God's day of rest, is my day of rest, to look at the world to which God gave me. And I'm embarrassed to say as a rabbi that I don't take that proper time every single day to really take that in. But there's something about Saturday when I drive in early in the morning, when I leave in the afternoon, there's something about just the opportunity to look at the trees, smell the environment to which we live in. That, you know, I say this to my kids all the time, that we live in an area that people save all their lives just to be able to take a vacation to where we live. And it's one of those things, and I think it's about gratitude. I think it's about understanding. I think it's about meaning and spirituality, is how often do we take that proper time for ourselves to really take in the world that God gave us, the world that we are custodians of, the opportunity to really ponder and reflect on just such a beautiful and magnificent world that we live in.
Yeah, I believe Psalm 91, I'm pretty sure Psalm 91 is the one where it's just the psalmist looking up at the skies and say, how incredible you are. It's all the stars and the cosmos. This is the God that I worship. And it opens up your mind and your heart to say, sometimes we get stuck in the micro and just looking at the small stuff that's around us. But if we can expand our mind and our heart and look at the macro, look at, you know, in California, it was looking at the mountains and looking at the ocean. And here in Stuart, it is to take that walk in the morning and to be able to look at the beautiful, gorgeous landscape that God has created, and allows your mind to go beyond just this, just the immediate task that might be just biting at you for the day, and say, oh, wait a minute. There is a gorgeous God behind all this, he's named every single star in the sky, a zillion trillion stars. And if he's taking that time with them, well, then he's taking that time with me. So if I'm doubting that I'm not sure what my purpose is or where I'm going or how I'm going to get through this, well, that's BS, because there is a God who loves those stars, who's named them, who's also born and chosen me to be his child, and been given me a mission and given me hope and given me strength. So how do I change my perception to know that God is alive in me and giving me direction, giving me hope, giving me everything that I need so I can start to change and develop my faith. So I'm going to depend upon that and expect that and live into that and seek in that throughout my day, throughout the most menial tasks, even when I'm washing dishes to sit there and say, God, you are the God that created all the landscape. You are the God who created the mountains and the valleys. And you also created me, and you're creating me during this time of the dishes. Present and make yourself aware. And let me just be in awe of you. Just be in shock of your love and your presence, even during these most difficult times.
And I think something you raised, which I think is a really important and significant moment too, right? Whether we're washing dishes, mopping our floors, taking out the garbage, it's trying to add that layer and that element of that God piece to it. Remember when I was in rabbinical school, I had a colleague of mine say, let's have lunch. It's lunch. I eat to for subsistence, to be able to get me through the rest of the day. And normally as human beings, you know, we may spend an hour cooking a meal. How often and how long does it take us to eat the meal? What, a minute and a half, 2 minutes? Because we're so self-consumed in what's next. What do I need to do? And I remember a colleague of mine, we sat there and we had sandwiches, something that normally would take me no less than 3 minutes to wolf down and just get ready for, you know, whatever task is next. And I remember we sat there and we went through the intentionality, right? How often do we actually chew our food? We don't. We inhale it because we're in a culture and a society that says productivity, let's get through it as fast as we can. And I remember sitting there and, you know, in rabbinical school, we were only given about 45 minutes for lunch. And I remember sitting there and each bite we had to really consume, really chew, and think about the food to which we are given, why we were given, and to bring God into it. Next thing I knew, I was 45 minutes late to my next class.
Yeah.
And when I went in and the rabbi said, you know what time it is, why are you late? Well, I was eating lunch. Okay, you're eating lunch 90 minutes ago. What took so long? Well, I'm sorry, we went through this exercise about intentionality and, you know, all this stuff of really trying to bring God in. And I remember just the exercise, what I thought was literally 5 minutes, was over an hour and a half. And I remember thinking to myself, what a powerful exercise to be able to actually think about, how is my food consumed? My body, the faculties that I use, the ability for the food that is produced in terms of who is producing it, why is it being produced? You know, all those elements that I think we take for granted,
yes,
in today's world. But I think being able to bring that element of intentionality of what and why we're doing it really brought a sense of, you know, meaning and certainly spirituality into it that I think in today's world is slightly askew. We're veering away from really its intended purpose. But I think it goes back to exactly what you said, which was, you know, if we're going to have those impactful moments to allow ourselves to be in relationship with God as it is a partnership and God in relation to us. And I think sometimes we sometimes miss the mark in some way.
Yep. You always say, some doctors would say, take 15 bites when you inhale, when you chew on your food, 15 bites before you swallow it. Can you do that? Because that allows your muscles, your stomach muscles, to relax, to be able to take it in. And during each 15 bite, maybe that's a time of thankfulness and gratitude. All right. So we're going to go to a quick break. And when we come back, my wife, Anastasia, is going to be here, and we're going to talk about what is it like to be a priest's wife in the midst of this, and this, the stress, or what it's like to have the stuff that comes home and it doesn't come home, the late hours, because it, again, it's not about us. This affects our family and our children, and this would also hopefully pertain to you as a listener, that if you have a business where that you're running it and you're coming home late and you got a family and you got kids, how do you find that balance to keep a healthy, intentional time with that family? What are your practices? You can always give us a call here at 772-220-9788. We always love to have the callers. That's 772-220-9788. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back, and we'll have my wife will be here to join us. All right. All right. We are back, as SNL would say, back in Stuart. We're back here to enjoy our time together with the Rabbi Matthew Durbin, who I had a great luncheon with yesterday over Gertrude Walden with many other community leaders, which was just awesome, and learning about the incredible things that are going on in this community and the people who care so much about it, including Thelma Washington over Gertrude Walden. The work that they're doing for the children and beyond is unreal. So if you haven't been over there to check it out, because they are just a stalwart of love that's happening here in Martin County. Again, the phone number to call in here is 772-220-9788. And we are talking about how do you keep it real during the stress, especially during the stress of the holidays. So it doesn't just become about the stress and the to-do list, but if you are a spiritual person, to just find that time and some peace and quiet. And what we want to do here is we've brought in our spouses before we had Matthew, Rabbi Durbin's wife come in, and she had the weighty topic of talking about sex. Just because she works with the Halal Foundation, she works with college students, so she's used to that topic coming up. For this one, we brought in my wife, Anastasia, to talk a little bit about what is it like to be a cleric's or a priest's wife, knowing that all the stuff that goes on and the demands that happen for a priest and sometimes the stress that comes home or just the time commitment because it's a 24-hour call and we'll be sitting there at 10 p.m. and then all of a sudden the phone rings and we got to make a hospital visit or I got to make a hospital visit. So we brought you in, my dear, just to talk, to get your take on that and how you and I have been developing habits and ways to do that. So first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And
so I'm super excited. Okay. So, I'm super excited because as I woke up this morning and I said to myself, great, we got this radio show at 9 o'clock. I am super excited that Reverend Anderson's wife Anastasia will be on it, because then we're going to get the real story, not the priest that sits behind the microphone, but the woman who controls the priest. So I'm quite interested to hear the real backstory, the real story of what Reverend Anderson is like outside the church.
Yeah.
Well, I would say for holidays, especially like Christmas time, they get really, really busy. So what I've been doing is, well, we getting better with communicating, I should say. So he will let me know. I'm leaving church late. Is it okay for me to go to the gym? And I have to say yes or no. So if I feel like he's being at church or at the office until 7 p.m. and he texts me and say, cannot really go to the gym for an hour. No, you're coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, so that's another way. But if I feel like for the whole week he's been doing really well, coming home before 7 p.m. and then he asked me, can I go to the gym or can I stop by whatever he has to do? And I'm like, okay, I have to check. He was home early on Tuesday. He was home early on Wednesday. So Thursday, you can go to the gym, you know? So, yeah, like yesterday, he was in the office all day, right?
Yeah, I was there till about 8.
So I figured, you know, he's doing well this week. So I went to get dinner and I took it to the office for us to have dinner together. And I left and he stayed there. And then he texted me and said, can I go to the gym? I was like, sure, because I had already had dinner with him. So I did let him go do his gym and come back. Yeah.
So there's a bit of
forgiveness. It depends on the week.
And earning some points there, you know.
Yes. He has to earn the point. Yeah. The point has to be earned. So if you are coming home late every day and you want to keep coming home late, then when you get home, he already see the way I look at him when he walked through that door. And he always texts me and says, I'm so sorry I'm coming home late. But I still get upset. I'm human. I'm a wife. I want my husband to be home on time sometimes. But I give him credit sometimes.
And how is it for you as a spouse of a clergy person to find that important and special time, just the both of you? I mean, is it a struggle? Is it something that you have to carve out for yourself to say, you know, no, Christian, you know, right now is right now is us time. Mm-hmm. Leave the rigors of church life at the church, which I do recognize the challenges with it. Because I'm sure Reverend Anderson, you and I both feel the same, that this is not a job that we perform. This is who we are. We're absorbed in it. This is our life. It's a position to which we serve. What is that like? What is that like for you?
Well, so Mondays we have Mondays off. So if he has to do something for, he really doesn't do much for the church on Mondays because we've already set that boundaries. So on Mondays we decide to spend Mondays together. If he's on the phone or he's on a computer, what are you doing on the computer? What are you doing? Are you working? If not, and then he would tell me, no, I'm not. I'm just sending this email, whatever it is. We're sleeping on Mondays, and then we do our own, whatever we enjoy to do together on Mondays, which is most of the time we leave Stuart just to get away and be somewhere else, whether Miami or West Palm or Orlando, just be there for the day and come back in the evening. So we've set that boundaries on Mondays. But if there's an emergency, if someone is sick and in a hospital and it's a parishioner, then even though I'm a spouse of a clergy, I sometimes feel bad. And so I would say, let's go. Mm-hmm. So once in a while, yeah, we can go. But most of the time on Mondays, we take the time together. And Sundays as well, after he's done with everything in the church, I'm always the one saying, okay, we got to go home. Mm. Like, you're done. Let's go home. Mm. But you have to set a boundary. In the beginning, we didn't set really a boundary. So he would text me, I'm coming home late. But as time went by, we have to set that boundary and say, you have to come home. Yeah.
Is it hard in terms of setting boundaries?
It is because, like you said, it's not a job. So it really becomes really harder. Mm. If it was me, then I can always leave work because I have a work. But his job is not a job technically. So it is hard to set a boundary, especially if there's somebody that is a parishioner and is going through something and they need him.
Yeah.
Then it's hard for me to say, you can't go. Am I upset? Yes, because I'm human as well and I want my husband, but yeah.
What you need to do is on Mondays is to disconnect your husband from Fortnite. I think too much Fortnite.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just such
disconnect
a
Minecraft. Big, just, big thing, you know, yeah.
Christian Anderson and Fortnite go together like PB&J, baby. If I had video games added to my repertoire.
Oh, no, that would have not worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have taken that video game and put it in the garbage.
Mm. Yeah. I think that was already stated from the beginning.
Yes.
No video games.
No video games.
I'd be playing, you know, Madden football just all night long. Yeah.
So from a spouse perspective as well, are there expectations put on you in terms of, well, you are the Episcopal priest's wife, therefore, you know, we as a church community expect you to be present at all services, to support your husband, to be there, invested and involved in the community. Is there that expectation?
No, actually, which is good because I would say I'm not sure much about a lot of the other Episcopal churches. But for here in Martin County, it's been pretty well. I think Christian probably set the boundaries in the beginning when we first moved here. And if anybody asked him for my number, he always let him know, I don't think she would do this or no, she's not interested. And she made people aware I would do the things that I am interested in because I don't just jump into things I'm not interested in. And so being a clergy wife doesn't mean I'm just going to jump in everything. I don't think people put expectation on me. And if they do, they don't let me know. So I wouldn't know. I just pick and choose the things that I feel like I'm interested in. Because what I realize is if I get too involved and my husband is already involved, and since it's not a job, we won't have a life together. And so someone has to step back and then watch him do his thing and then still make him aware we still have a life to live, you know? So no, that's not really an expectation.
Well, what I've learned, I mean, this is what I adore about my wife, is that she is very good about you. You are very good about setting boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so from the beginning, right from the jump, she set those boundaries where people are asking her to do things and she wasn't afraid to just say no, mm-hmm. as opposed to some other people might feel bad and say, oh yes, I'll just do this once or twice. Mm-hmm. So she set a standard and gracefully set a standard, but it teaches me in life in general about setting boundaries, how important that is. That the power of no, man, your yes mean yes, your no mean no, because people know now that you know, it don't count mm-hmm. on Anastasia. Don't expect that you're just going to pull her into this. She's got her own life. She's got her own job. She's got her own passions, and she's not going to be the traditional priest's wife. And thank God that Father Todd, my boss, his wife is very similar. She's chosen her specific ministries that she gives her time to, and that's it. And sometimes she sneaks into service and she sneaks out at the end. And I think that Anastasia and Darla have some similarities there. But if Anastasia wouldn't have done that from the beginning, people would have been pulling her in every direction. Right. Mm-hmm. And they knew right from the beginning, that's not her jam. That's not how she rolls.
And so Darla nobody expected me to go to all services. Sometimes I do, depending on the service, if he's doing something for the church and I feel like I want to attend all three services, then it's my choice. So I pick and choose which service I go to, which is the 9 o'clock contemporary service, which is the one I like. So I go to that service every Sunday. If I go to any other service, it's because I want to go. And most of the time, if I go to the last service on Sundays, that means I want to go and take my husband out of the church after church. Mm-hmm. So I would do something like that. But no, I set that boundaries and it's what it is. I'm sorry, but I'm working. I have my job to do.
Absolutely.
And I love to go to the church. I love to serve. But I want to do the things that would not take me away from my husband or take our relationship away.
So when your husband spends the countless thousands and thousands of hours writing his sermons for the week. Mm-hmm. Do you offer feedback? I mean, does he read them to you to say, look, Anastasia, I'm really interested in your take or your perspective. This is what I'm preaching about this week. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, sometimes he does. Sometimes he does read it to me over and over. And then I will give my input, or I would say, you know, don't add that. Don't say that. You don't want to say that in Martin County. Mm-hmm. don't add whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he does the sermon with me. And sometimes I do go with him to the coffee shop. So he would sit there, do his sermon. And I also sit there and do some work as well. So any chance I get for us to be together, even if it's just him sitting over there across from me and doing his work. And I also like to know he's next to me and he's there, even if we're not communicating and we each doing our own work. So yeah, he does read it to me. So sometimes I know the sermon before he even preaches on Sunday, but sometimes he get there and sometimes he changes things around and I'm like, oh, we didn't talk about that, but that sounds good. So something like that. So he does read it to me. Yeah. A couple of times.
She's great about, I will just talk about the basic pointers. So I'll do the 5 p.m. service on Saturday night. And then we go to the contemporary service on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And so in between, you know, whether we have dinner Saturday night or we're just having a discussion, I'll say, okay, these are the points I'm trying to get across. And she'll go, no, 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 yes, that's good.
Keep that.
Swipe left, swipe left. No, that's good. Swipe right. And so then my 10 points just came to 2 points. And she's like, those are the two. That's practical. That's relevant. That makes sense. That speaks to me. Everything else just sounds like a bunch of theological seminary stuff that makes sense for your church.
But I think that's the reality of the situation, right? Because at the end of the day, being able to communicate to you, Anastasia, of this is what I'm preaching about, is that in the larger context, you're real. You're that parishioner who's sitting in the pew, wants that moment of connectivity and connection to God and to our community. Yeah. And, you know, Reverend Anderson, you're in the, you know, observancy religious model of this is super engaging to me. And then your wife may say, you've lost me. This really actually has no relevance to me. It may be exciting to you, but how are we going to attract reach others?
It's huge. Because sometimes you can get like a sermon committee, and sometimes that can get dangerous if you get a sermon committee that they meet with you once a week and tell you about your sermons. But I mean, Anastasia has always just been so real, so straightforward. Even in seminary, we'd be talking and I'd be telling her about this great class I just had in the Holy Trinity. And this is why the Trinity makes sense, where other religions might think that we're polytheists. And I remember telling it to Anastasia. She's like, that still doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, it doesn't make any sense. That's not really clear to me. And I'm like, I just spent 3 weeks in this class going over this. She's like, exactly. You had to do 3 weeks in a class to try to come up with some clarity for this. You're not there yet. Because for me, that's still a struggle for me to understand this, how you are presenting the Holy Trinity. Or I'm thinking of like a Muslim friend explaining the Holy Trinity without them thinking you're a polytheist, right? So, you know, you're not there yet. So,
So I'm actually super interested in the non-clerical, non-religious aspect. So Anastasia, what do you guys do when your husband's not in church? And it happens to be, I don't know, a long weekend or you have the time off. How do you both unplug? How do you both unwind? What do you guys like to do, you know, habit-wise? What, does your husband like to put on short shorts and go to the beach, tan those pale legs? You know, what do you both like to do together?
Sleeping. So we sleep in a lot when we get a chance on Mondays. If we do go to West Palm, I think we do a lot of nature stuff. So we like to go by the water, and he's a water person. Like, oh, let's sit by the water. You know, we do, what else do we do? We go to the movies.
Well, yeah. When MoviePass was working, that was our jam.
Yes.
And then MoviePass went MoviePass
to the north. So yeah. we don't. We canceled that, but we used
to go to Palm Beach. We find out different animal sanctuaries.
Yes.
We look up top 10 things to do in West Palm or top 10 things to do in Lake Worth,
Miami,
and visit them, or go to some place, or go to some new lounge that opened up. And just the exit of leaving, I think, and jumping on 95 North, babe, right?
Yes,
that really is just like, okay, we're really getting away.
Even just being in a car driving that 45 minutes or that 2 hours ride to Miami. There's something, there's an excitement just knowing that we're going to do something that has nothing to do with the church. This is our time. So even if we get there, we take a walk, we, you know, just walking, holding hands. Sometimes we say to each other, oh my God, we haven't held a hand in a while, you know? So just that, and going to different lounges just to sit there talking about our future, our life, or family, whatever comes up, and just enjoying each other. I think just enjoying each other's company is everything.
Grabbing a meal together, grabbing a drink, going for a walk somewhere that's just beautiful. And a lot of times, I don't know for you and your wife, but it's just nice to do that outside of Stuart.
Yeah.
Not that we don't like Stuart, but it's just a whole different experience of just being away. Because if you walk around Stuart, you might have parishioners walk up to you, like,
which we have.
It happens all the time. Yeah. So I think that's just, it's so important for us, that Sabbath, that our Sabbath, that, you know, we can just move it around for, just because Sunday is really a work day.
Yeah.
Is that's the day where it's just for us and building and setting good habits. And then my boss keeps on telling me, these are the times you got to set good habits for your marriage. So if you stay at the office till 8 p.m., that's not a good habit. You don't want that habit to be there because it's just not good. You want to set good habits and learn how you can get out the door by 6, because you're building your marriage right now, and this is important. Later on in life, maybe you could do an 8 or 10 p.m. at work, but right now you want to set those good habits.
But next time you take the time for yourselves and you go down to Miami, it seems to be that Monday is the international day for every clergy not to have to not to go to work. My day off is on Monday as well. So next time you go down to Miami, call me. Take me with you.
We just said we want to spend time together
without the rabbi. I get it.
I'm kidding. Yeah, one day we will all just go to Miami together and not talk about a church or talk about a synagogue or anything like that, and just kind of be together.
Yeah. So one thing we didn't get touch on, since we got to move on here, unfortunately, is just like the challenge of not bringing work home.
Yes.
And sometimes Anastasia, you've just been so wonderful because you're one of the few people that I can just open up to. And she's just been so incredibly patient and loving and listening and just to hear and to respond. And I'm sure your wife does the same thing. It's incredible because there's not many people you can do that to. And it really is relieving. It sucks to bring the stuff home. But you know,
hopefully
I can be that for her with her work as well. All right. Next week. Thank you, Anastasia. Absolutely. For being
thank you guys
here.
For having me.
It's just so thank wonderful you. To have you here. And, you know, next week, we got a guest. And so we're going to bring on a Gary Lesser, who runs his own law firm, who is a conservative Jew. So we will be able to have a nice little dialogue, maybe a little banter here between a reformed rabbi and a devoted conservative Jewish follower. So we'll see you next week. God bless you.